Okay.
Gee whiz. Well, guess what? It's
Wow.
Wednesday night.
Oh.
And it is 7 o'clock. Okay. And there's something just memorable about that, you know. It's like, anyway, here we are back again. We took a week off because, well, the whole thing has to do with the Ides of March, and there's a big backstory to it. I'm very nervous about the whole thing with, you know, Caesar, what happened way back then. I don't want to get involved in it again. It was a mess, okay? Just a bloody mess. So I thought, let's take that week off, okay? So here we are. Here we are, brand new beginning, brand new beginning. And now, let's just say, Dan, is there anybody online right now that we don't know who they are?
Yes, yes, that's what we want.
You want to keep it to yourself or just to
share? Can you share with us?
He's leaving the room.
No, he's gone.
Okay.
Oh, here he comes.
Wait, he's coming back now.
The phone is in your hand. How about speak it into the phone?
He doesn't know how.
Well, if they're online and the name is online, it's okay to say it online on the phone.
So the name of the person that I have not seen before is Faham Shah.
And that's Ivan over there.
Yes.
Who you, of course,
welcome, Sohan.
Correspond with, and I'm David, who sent you the email a little while ago. Thank you for coming. And can you tell us?
And I'm neither.
She's neither here nor there. She's Pat.
Soham is asking, can we ask questions here, or do we need to call in?
Well, let me ask you, where are you on the planet?
Yes, which planet,
where
and
are
where
you?
On it?
You can just type it into
type
the
it
little
in
thingy.
If he's not hearing us.
Assuming you're on the planet. That's
assuming you're on the planet, where on the planet
are you?
We think
you are on the planet.
And the answer is?
Dan's refusing to tell us. He's just refusing. He's just saying, forget it. The old man's worn out. He doesn't need it.
Well, for people who are coming here to this gathering, one of the things is you have multiple opportunities to communicate either on the chat, on the telephone, or in person. And we usually take the in-person part to mean in your corporal form with the thing still alive, but it is not required. You may do it any way you choose,
six.
And we will acknowledge you.
And we're barely getting started on the fine details. And that's probably Beverly.
Okay.
And
yes.
Soham says that he's in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I was in Tulsa. It's a long story.
It's okay.
I was there. I spent about 3 or 4 nights there. It was a federal grand jury, okay? But
questions and answers.
The question is that yes, you may. So if you have the proper kind of phone, you're welcome to call in. The number is at the bottom of the email that I sent you, or you can type it in. Some people have these phone services where there is no extra charge for long distance.
That's right.
In which case, it is probably a long distance call, and you're welcome to call in. We always like people to call in because we get to hear your voice, and you can ask questions, and it's very vibrant that way.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me? Hey, I'm Soham.
Hey.
Hey, that was quick.
Hey, sorry. Yeah, I was. I was on chat, but I don't think you guys were getting my messages.
We're seeing you just fine.
Oh, we're hearing you fine. Thank you for calling. And I think Harry is on the line. Is that right? Are you there, Harry?
I am indeed, and I'm responding to Soham on the chat.
And I think Silverdale is there. And we're going to, we have to reboost or re...
And Soham, if you periodically refresh your page, you probably will see that you are on the chat, even if it doesn't show up where you're looking.
What do you think is proper?
Oh, okay.
Because this is all about being proper. Okay.
Great, got
chat.
It. Thank you.
Booted. Along with the broadcast, so there is a technical difficulty, and we will just go with the...
But the people on the phone aren't getting rebooted. They're just there.
Oh, the people on the phone.
They have consistency like
their voice
we
is
do
loud
here.
And clear.
And we're going to talk about proper behavior and cleaning supplies. That'll be later, though, cleaning supplies.
Sure.
But.
Well, I do have a question.
Well, I'm kind of stalling until.
And the question has to do with how did Soham find us?
Okay. Soham, do you want to? How did you get in touch with this series of books and find yourself here with us this evening? Can you hear me, first of all?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes. Now we can hear you.
Okay, great. So thank you for that question. I'm actually glad. Just a little bit of background about me. I was born in India, in Mumbai, and I grew up in one of the ashrams, one of the Osho ashrams. I'm not sure if you ever heard of Osho.
Oh, yes.
So I grew up in one of Osho's ashrams, which is on the coast of Gujarat. And ever since I was a kid, I was involved in activities such as this. And my mom and dad have been reading books by Gurdjieff, K. Annie Jig, a long time. There was a system for food. I used to read the book.
Yeah, your phone is going in a little bit, Soham.
Oh, okay. I can
back
up a bit. Yeah, okay. Time now. Just recently, I have been starting getting some experiences and stuff a bit more serious. And I wanted to visit school. And so I was just looking for more books. I read the book in like a week, looking for more books. And I got in touch with Ivan. And then he told me, you guys are meeting up today. That's how I am here now, and I think it just fell into place by itself.
Very good, and we're welcome, and we have we've been doing this particular show on Wednesday night for about, is it 8 years now, something like eight years, and we've covered a number of the books, and I am a strong devotee of the. Of the writings of E.J. Gold, which I find unique in the literature of spiritual development. Very interesting stuff. We've gone through HBM, Practical Work on Self, The Hidden Work, Book of Sacrifices, the ABD.
Two versions of the American Book of the Dead.
Of the American Book of the Dead, the Life in the Labyrinth. And so now we're coming into a different venue than we have been in before. And we're opening up a book that is called Work of Groups. And it's the only way it's been disseminated thus far is through part of the Secret Talks series. And the Secret Talks, I myself purchased a copy of them over 30 years ago and they were sent to me when I was living in Denver, Colorado.
And they were originally published in 1979, 1980, and I think the last one was produced in 1983, if I'm not mistaken. So,
Oh, yes.
Some history.
So a lot of history. And some of us, it's been a long time since we've read this particular volume. But we had the last class that we did, and how many classes did we have on that one, Marvette?
Only 33.
We had 33 classes on a book called The Invocation of Presence.
So that's...
Yeah, over half a year. And that one created, in that book, it's a, all of the books I've mentioned, and in particular the book that we just finished, Invocation of Presence, it is a, it's a linear set of thoughts on a particular work area that EJ is offering to us. And in this case, a seminal concept in my opinion, the second tier of work that EJ gives us is this thing called the invocation of presence. So the group worked through that, I think, in a very dynamic way. I think we had some really unique sessions on it. And we found, and a couple of individuals, particularly Harry, mentioned how he felt the presence of the group. And it's very strange when you think about it, because Harry is in Texas, Silverdale is in Washington, D.C.
Seattle, Washington.
We're in California. I don't know if Grant is on from New Paltz.
New York.
And
Laura 34.
Laura 34 from Florida, and so on and so forth. And for a while, from the... we correspond with a group in India, and I don't know the name of their teacher. Do you know?
No, yeah. I haven't been associated with that group.
Yeah, and they've followed along, and I recently sent them a copy of this book, and their teacher indicated that now they're going to start reading through the Secret Talks volume.
I see.
Was very interesting. The timing was really good. So we don't have a book that kind of like says, here is what a group is. It's like we're given this series of talks and experiences that the groups at that time were, how they worked with UJ. And there's snippets of many, many, many different events that took place, and they're like snapshots of a group dynamically working with a teacher. And it is a, it's a, it's just the dynamism comes. So if we read this, we're not going to get, oh, this is what a group is.
No.
It's not a textbook delineating that. When you get to the very, very end, you'll be a little surprised, the very end. But there, rather, there's over 100 chapters, and they have different vignettes, different snapshots of how a group worked together. So we were all here thinking, like, well, how do we approach this material? And I don't know, so it was just interesting to me that it's not something that we're going to be able to work through the text and then you get this part and this part like you would from a normal scholarly text. Go ahead, Evan.
Right. Although I just got the idea from what you're saying, you know, I realize that this is a exploration of work of groups with a bunch of experiential data, experiential evidence. You know, it's a bunch of, it's like a patchwork quilt, EJ would say maybe, or a you know, like a whole set of cards or something that, you know, of all different moments or different processes and so on that these groups that are were part of these talks went through.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm thinking that for us, we read a chapter, you know, five chapters, 10 chapters, it seems to me that the first thing we might want to do is say, well, this is here's a window into the experience of this group, which was a fairly advanced group maybe that he was talking to in the case of these talks. But what is there, what can I recognize there from my own experience? In other words, what is there in there that either I have experienced or I feel that I could apply in my everyday life, or that we could apply in our group here? You know, or how does it apply to this group here?
Who are some of the names that are on right now online there?
We have Silverdale, Muscle Spark, Pianjo signed in earlier, and Jennifer Gott, and of course, Sohan.
So boy, does it show 17 people there?
I can't see it from here.
Is that right?
Nope, damn.
Yeah, there are 10 people shown as watching, but I don't know who they are unless they type something in the chat.
Okay. My point is this. So when we did Practical Work on Self, I've been through that book probably 6 times now.
Mm-hmm.
Each time it takes 1 year to get through it. And the reason is here's what we do. We read a chapter, then we come back to the meeting and we say, what do you think the exercise in that chapter is?
Mm-hmm.
The group decides on what it is, and then they go out and do the exercise. And the second week is you come back and report. 24 chapter exercises, 48 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so I thought one approach to this particular book might be to, and I'd like to, I'm throwing this out, you know, how do we approach this unique book here? Would be to read X number of pages per week and discern what might be an exercise that's there. I'll give you an example. We're going to read some parts of that first chapter, though, Ivan.
Yes.
Anyway, because it's important.
Sure.
Is the invocation.
I saw that, yes.
Yeah. And 3 levels of work.
Yes.
But we're going to see, I'm not finding it, that there are specific exercises called out.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can select and create an exercise. Then what I'd like is that we go do that exercise. But here's the flip on that exercise.
Well, wait, before you go to that point, I want us to reconfirm and speak maybe a little bit about it. We have just completed the 33 weeks of Invocation of Presence study as a group. And we had group confirmation, group vocabulary, group experience, and as both Harry and I have commented several times on, we had group presence. We had awareness of groupness. And the last exercise that we agreed to do for each other, the one that we didn't come back and share, was the one where we said, tomorrow I'm going to be doing my I wish invocation of presence at such and such a location and time, and when I do that, I will recall the others of the group also doing their invocation of presence.
As a side note, Ivan, can you, I want Pat to finish, but can you say what that mantra is that was given in that last chapter?
Margaret.
Go ahead, Margaret.
Go ahead, Margaret.
Give her a phone.
Dan.
Hand her the phone.
The mantra that we have been using is, I wish this to be used for the invocation of my presence into the present. The presence of my presence into the present. Let me give you that again. I wish this to be used for the invocation of the presence of my presence into the present.
It's actually slightly different.
Yeah. Well, that's the one
that we've been used to.
Yeah.
But it's slightly different as written.
In the book?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Well.
And it is, I wish this to be used to invoke the presence of my presence into the present.
Yes.
So this gets used to invoke.
Invoke. Not for the invocation of, but to invoke.
And
it's present tense verb.
And so this is... this.
It's this. And your turn.
Yeah, this.
Soham says, I think it should be presence of the presence in the present.
Yes. We have versions of this that go all different ways. The one we are referencing was the one that was written in the text, The Invocation of Presence, which was the last book we wrote. And so... if you would please, Dan, take the book out, put it next to the keyboard, and type it in word for word.
From the book.
From the book, so that we do have that as the reference, just in case any of us are misspeaking, because some of us have used a slightly different one for more than 35 years and are confused.
And
or
this particular volume is called Invocation of Presence. And this particular book is called Work of Groups. And Ivan's going to put a link to that in the website called Gateways Books and Tapes so that you can purchase that book or both of those books. Thank you, Ivan.
Together.
I believe we've got the Invocation of Presence in there, but I'll check.
Check on Work of
Groups. Okay, Work of Groups also, yeah. Okay, well.
So...
go ahead, Pat.
So we have a working groupness from our work together that we have built over the material that we have worked with together for the last little while. And the end of that cycle, mm-hmm. which in time was 2 weeks ago, the buildup of our work together in that form is what we're going to stand on now for our work with this material. Because this material is, as David has been explaining and Ivan has been commenting on, it's not a text to study. It's not a written explanation or instruction. It is a narrative mm-hmm. of work occurring
actual work
in group. And what we're going to do is to continue our group that we have and use our groupness to explore by various means that I'm assuming David's going to come up with, because I don't know what they would be. We're going to explore our groupness by using what comes from our work together on Wednesday night. So we're not relying on the text to be read on Wednesday nights. We'll do that before and after the Wednesday night. The Wednesday night is going to have a different modality. Right?
Yeah. So what we're doing right now is just, how do we approach this text? That's the commentary. That's the question. And so we're going to experiment as a group to see what works best for the group. All right? So I'd like to present just an initial idea, okay? And that initial idea is, since we're just getting started, we haven't even read the book yet, or some of us might not have, we're going to go ahead and read through. Sohan, did you get a copy of the book?
Okay.
It'll come. It'll get there.
I would like to have everyone's name.
Soham also types, this is just from my own research. I want to add what I said also, reference to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Very good.
Or in parenthesis, grace.
Yes.
That's exactly right, and that's why, you know, you focus on a particular mantra, whatever it might be, and then we work with it. But the most important thing that Pat said is that we have built a foundation, in a sense, of commonality. And it is, and I've used this term in the past, that the individuals here are, I call them experienced operatives. We're not beginners, like just the first time, you know, reading whatever, you know, Khalil Gibran or something for the very first time. We've been through the wars a little bit. And so we're taking that and we're saying, okay, how can I leverage that into the next position?
Mm-hmm.
And you can do it best when you're working on a group. So I'd like to suggest to begin with that what would be the first 10 pages, Ivan? Where does that, I mean, the numbered pages, not the linear pages.
So that goes through
page.
Three chapters, the first three chapters, and then chapter four starts on page 10.
Yeah.
Okay.
That could go, the first four chapters
okay.
covered in 10 pages.
So some of you may or may not have a book, but you can go on the website called Gateways Books and Tapes, and there'll be a link to purchase the book there. And if you if you don't have a chance to do that, send me an email, and I'll make sure you get a copy sooner than later. But right now we're going to read through chapter 4, the first four chapters of this, for our next class.
That's right. And we're going to do it in a very particular way. When you read your text, you can try reading it as if you were in a group and say it aloud. You can actually make an appointment to be with others online and read it aloud with each other. Or you can read it silently to yourself, knowing that you and the group are actively participating at the same time. So any of those methods.
So this week, all of us will be reading these first 10 pages. Pat's going to be reading it. I'm going to be reading it.
Dan's going to read it. Ivan's going to read it. Marvette's going to read it.
So
gonna
we're all going to be reading this thing. Now, usually when we do exercises and practical work on self, for instance, we do an exercise and we go out into the world and we go, do the exercise and tell me what happened when you did the exercise. This is going to be different. So the first exercise, in a sense, Pat, is reading pages 1 to 10. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
Right?
Yes, it is.
But instead of reporting back and saying, here's what happened to me, I would like to record that you're like you're an investigative reporter, and you write down and you report back to the group what you found out. So there's a subtle difference between what happened when you did the exercise and can you tell the group what you found out when you did this?
we can be more explicit. If you think of the word investigative, you may start off with a question. And the question might be, what will happen when I read these chapters, the first 10 pages? That's your starting point. After you have read, you still have more investigation to do. There's more to know. What is it you can find out? So you follow leads. We could think about it as being your senses. We could think about it as being other reference materials. We could think about it as what are the reverberations that come back to you. Whatever these things are that occur, you're going to report them because your readers, the ones that are getting the benefit of your investigative reporting, are going to want to know. And there used to be this phrase, God, when was it, from the 40s? Interested people really want to know. Okay, Ivan's not going to help me out on that one. So,
and that was the only one alive in the 40s.
Yeah, right. An investigative reporter doesn't let the first little inquiry be the only thing. He goes deeper and deeper and deeper, and he takes extensive notes because he doesn't know what's going to be used when he writes the story.
That, I came up with, for myself, I purchased a small notebook, which I'm going to carry in my back pocket, because...
right there.
It's really small.
It's teeny.
Okay.
It's a very small, it's just in my back pocket. And because I'm going to take notes on what I've found when I'm out there in the wilderness, gathering data for the group.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd be able to open it up and read, it has my name on it.
Good. So you can look in there in case you forget.
Yeah, that's
who you
why
are.
I wrote it.
Okay.
Very clever. And so I'll bring back these notes. Other people may express it. Is Tom online right now? Dan?
Yeah, Mustafa Spark.
He's on?
Mustafa Spark, if you hear this, we would like you to sign on.
He was on at the beginning before the broadcast crashed, so he might be there, but he hasn't typed in since then.
Yeah.
He hasn't typed in since
so,
then.
So, type in.
My point is that this guy, you may not know this about him. This is a... like a composer, a genius of the first on piano.
Mm-hmm.
When we did the angelic hidden work, is that that's where we did the
hidden work.
The
mm-hmm. the choirs,
the various angelic mm-hmm. choirs. He wrote some original music to be played when the people did the various angelic choirs.
He's on good.
So his form may be different than mine.
Yeah, your reporting medium is your own choice. If you want to talk into, you know, your iPad or your iPod or your iSmart or
whatever,
your I something that you say hi to and it reports back to you. You know, the question here is not what is the correct modality for recording your reporting, it's do it. Do it. Collect the data and report back.
Can I write poems? Even can I write, like, mysterious esoteric haikus?
We'll never listen to
it. It cannot. It has to be one of the esoteric
never survive on free verse.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
And did you say it was okay if I sang or no?
Well, I wasn't sure we were going to let poets in tonight, but you can never know.
I want to ask how much he charges for free verse.
Free verse, Dan, for you, it'll be less.
Special.
Yeah.
So, since we don't know how to approach this book exactly. All we're going to do is we're going to step into the water and see what happens.
Yeah.
So during the next week, read pages 1 to 10 and see what happens. From there, we may discover, whoa, no, we've got to go this way, or we've got to go that way, or here's what I found out. You guys might want to know about it. I had this little group when I was in L.A. for a long time, called it the Philosopher's Stone, and I've mentioned it before.
Right.
And we were just like this. We were kind of what do you call it when you don't believe in a particular religion? Just agnostic?
No,
is I don't know one way or another, right?
Syncretistic.
Yeah. No, we were just...
Unitarian.
What is it?
You could be called a Unitarian.
Thank you.
I think he said a unit.
Said.
No, he said Unitarian.
A unit.
He did not say unit. Unitarian.
So.
Thank you, Harry. That's so kind.
Thank you.
Ecumenical is what you mean, man. Come on.
Ecumenical.
So we didn't associate with the Buddhists, the Krishnites, the Hinduites, or the... You know,
the Judeo-Christians.
Carlos Castaneda-ites, you know, none of them. But we were interested, so we would literally go out, one of us would go out to different groups during the week.
Oh, you must have had a...
One guy would go out and look at the Castaneda guys, another guy would go to Swami... Satchidananda, a beautiful man, you know, Thich Nhat Hanh from the East-West Buddhist, and said, what happened? I went to his place, and I got caught there for 3 days meditating, and it was really worth it. And sometimes you go to, like, the Eastern Orthodox Church, go there, and you're going to see, you're going to blow your mind. You have to choose what time of day you go, and so on and so forth. We're doing the same thing. We're doing like field work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going out and doing field work, and then we're going to come back and say, okay, guys, here's what I found out. Okay. So it's, anyway, just a thought. That's a thought of how to, go ahead, Ivan.
I suggest, you know, because some people evidently don't, we know some people don't have the book, and probably very few people have started reading it, but, you know, I think it might be worth reading this one page on the note from the editor to get some context for these Secret Talks volumes, because it's very interesting, actually.
It makes sense.
So, Harry, do you want to get us started on that? You know where we are?
I will be happy to.
It's before the table of contents, and then George.
Notes from the editor.
Yeah.
It'll be Harry, George, Pat, and Ivan. Are you up for the last paragraph there?
Yeah.
Okay, so go ahead, and why don't you get us started, please, Harry?
Certainly. Note from the editor. These talks are remembrances of conversations which occurred each day between G and a special group formed in America for the purpose of ensuring his obligation to future generations, as reported in several talks. Even though these conversations are not direct transcriptions of his words, they are an authentic rendition of his ideas on work as they presented themselves during those times.
Even though he did not permit notes during his talks, a few students were able to reconstruct the essence of his talks, and without his knowledge, made notes following the meetings. Later, These notes were compared. Translations were made where necessary to the context and meaning, and tested in oral readings to many of those present when the talks were given.
Some passages were translated literally to give a sense of his idiomatic and informal use of language to express ideas. Some of these ideas may be new even to those who were present in his other groups, and some ideas may be shocking. But undeniably, this record of his secret talks is one of the greatest contributions to date for those generations to come who wish to delve deeper than rumor and who demand to hear him actually voice his direct instructions to his pupils.
Thank you. Well, as I look around the room, one thing I noticed is that we've been supplied with a scribe.
Yes.
Okay. Now, as we get more and more into what invocational work is, you'll notice that certain posts come along. And one post that seems to be, for me, required in a certain way is the post of the scribe. And that's what these guys are talking about, right?
That's correct.
Various people take various notes. And what I'd like to consider, and this is beyond the scope of our presumed skill set, but I'd like to bring it out anyway, everybody, and that's that I would like us to have a special notebook, which I'll bring next week for you, Marvette. It's going to be a special color. It's not going to be that size. It's not going to be this size either. Okay. And what I'd like us to do is gather into this special notebook traits that we say, this is a trait of what is a group.
Oh, you're trying to do a cataloging. Oh, interesting. Okay.
Gathering the evidence. You're documenting.
Yeah. Yeah. We might see this, We say, it doesn't work well in the wind. Cold weather's not good.
Right.
But boy, does it hold up well for this kind of thing.
Yeah. We give specific instances of what we notice. Yes.
Of what is in the terms of the group work.
Yes.
And people might need to go out and find other data that they'll bring back that is from maybe other material. But for this purpose, and we did this with practical work on self, is that we had somebody writing down what the tools are that you found as you go through. You find specific tools, like conscience is a tool in that regard. So what tools do we find that might constitute those attributes that when put together, create goodness?
I'm going to throw this out of context.
Go ahead.
So the last middle phrase or the whole thing of sentence one, which is also paragraph one, starting with the words, for the purpose of, I don't remember hearing this explanation about why the groups were formed in this way. It says, a special group formed in America for the purpose of ensuring his obligation to future generations. And it has just dawned on me that this series of secret talks with Mr. G, which are known as the volumes, which is how you can find them on gateways. Look under volumes. This is volume 5. The volumes have the insurance policy towards this obligation.
Right.
So what's in this for each of us and all of us as a group, what's in this, we actually can rely on his insurance policy being to make sure that this goes into the future. It's in the material.
Right.
That's new data to my little mental apparatus here. That's just occurred to me. I had no collection of that, which to me modifies how we actually are going to go about our job, because if we are collecting data as a reporter, as an investigative reporter of the occurrence of something that comes by way of the 10 pages that we've read, it's something that exists in the space already.
That's right.
For us to collect.
That's correct.
Well, how do you like that, folks? Mm-hmm. You don't have to actually go looking. You just have to pay attention. It's already out there. It's not going to be something that gets made up. It's not something that you're going to have to figure out. All you have to do is take note of it. I really like this idea now. I'm very happy about this.
Go ahead.
Happy about this.
Say there's also, see, what struck me in this very short page, this simple page, is, you know, it struck me right away that there's the history, at least the way it's being told here, is that there were multiple groups, that there are more than one group, and that this group, so, I mean, I happen to know from experience that some of what we call the volumes and the secret talks were recorded, you know, were the talks were actually mechanically recorded and transcribed, and, you know, and I think you'll find that those books read quite differently than this one, and I think that this particular volume is a set of talks that were clearly not recorded, not mechanically stored, and that this was the only way, actually, that they're either transmitted by memory or by people's notes, and it's comparable to, I think, that even sort of the language of this note from the editor is meant to sound like, you know, in the Gurdjieff tradition, the fragments, I think it's called Fragments of an Unknown Teaching, mm-hmm. where the only way that, you know, his data passed on to future generations is known, you know, is because the students are able to reconstruct what the teacher said at those meetings. But I think it goes hand in hand, I think, with this project that David's outlining here, to say that evidently maybe one of the functions of giving these talks to a certain group of people and not to another group of people was that these people here then became obligated to share or convey somehow this information in other groups or to other groups, and that became their project. It's like the teacher, I'm not sure, I have to go back, and it's been a long time since I read this whole book, but I doubt that the teacher ever specifies to them, this is how you're obligated to pass this on for future generations.
Well, look at
but
the three
clearly
of us.
It's an obligation that's put on these people.
Look at the three of us sitting here. You've been working with the printed text and EJ's materials and making sure they got into the public and managing the flow of the teaching out into the world for, 30 plus something? And you have been running these kinds of classes online, in person with people for 8, going on 9 years. So this is an example of the way of the obligation of the teacher becomes fulfilled as an obligation of the student, and this recollection of recombining those talks.
Hey, Pat, I have a question.
Go for it.
So listen, Pat, you are one of the you are one of the earliest people who have become in our group that has that was involved with EJ from Vancouver Island and then down in Southern California before you came up to Grass Valley, starting from about 1972 or something like that. Am I correct?
You are very good with the memory. Yes, it was in Vancouver where I met EJ first, and I did move to California. Yes.
And so you, and again, if I kind of understand this correctly, you have been involved with EJ almost on a daily basis. I mean, we could say this of Marvette as well by way of example, but almost every single day since you first met him, apart from some periods of time you might have been off doing something. So my question to you, Pat, is this. Were you involved in any one of these individual talks? Or is this a group of people that we know nothing about? We know who the people are that were in Southern California, Lana and Morgan, and so
I can
on.
Answer,
question mark.
I can answer the question in two ways. The talks that I'm not personally present for, I do have reliable data from those who were present at them.
Okay.
Like, I've been with people who were the senior students at the time before me.
Okay.
The ones that I did not attend in person during the time that I have been here since then, I have reliable evidence that the notes that were taken and then shared between folks to produce these talks are valid. I have tested that myself because I spent 7 years in the work group, and I know that the evidence of the note taking as it then manifests later in shared public information is genuine and reliable. So I may not have been personally present at each and every one of these groups, but the ones that I wasn't personally present at or with, I can validate that the individuals who were there genuinely relayed what had occurred correctly, sincerely, genuinely, whatever is the word that we're looking for here. So it's both.
Well, and so thank you so much for that. I guess I'm just bringing to the attention of all of us, Pat is an artifact, a trustee, a part of this obligation to future generations to help us understand better work of groups and how we might ourselves become more integrated and an integral part of that trustee responsibility.
Yeah.
And Silverdale, you are a perfect example for me of the extended groupness, because the work that you did individually and in relationship to the Institute for the many, many, many years before you had an opportunity to physically be with us, that is a valid form of trusteeship, because your scholarliness of the approach that you make with EJ's material is of the same genuine nature. It is one for the benefit of all beings everywhere, and two, an effort that has intention and presence, and it is offered from your being. So that qualifies as the same character that you're ascribing to me as being, you know, a person worthy of speaking about this as a group member, a senior trustee. I count you in that category.
Well, and so maybe that's what we tonight as a group learn from this note from the editor that we've just read, that all of us individually in our own way have magnetic censure, regardless of when we entered the work or where we're located, and collectively together we participate for the benefit of future generations.
Yeah. Okay, I have a question to that, actually.
Sure.
Okay. This is not
Your phone is close enough now, so we can't hear you.
Oh, sorry. Can you hear me?
No.
Well, you'll have to talk for a while, but you don't have a good cell phone connection.
I'm sorry. Can you hear my question?
We didn't hear your question.
Maybe I can type it on the chat. Just type it on the chat. I'll just type it.
Thank you. Yeah, some of it we can hear and then it goes away, so we want to make sure we get it all correctly.
He's going to type it in. In a moment.
Very good.
Type it online.
Yeah.
Yes.
What is it? Yeah, that's what he's talking about.
Yes. Read it to us, please.
Talking about groups, what are the rules of this group?
Yes.
Well, this is particular event is on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock, and we go for about 1 hour. We haven't posited any rules. We work with conscience of others and the valuation of the others around us. And we begin to see how important it is to see that they're here. And because of that, we then are able to give them space and give each of us space. Each of us will play a different role. Sometimes people think they're playing maybe a passive role, but it is so critical that they're here for some of us. And it's that concert together that it's not so much that there are rules, but there are well, that's a question we don't know the answer to yet. So that's just a question we'll pose.
I like that you asked the question.
Yeah, I think it's a good question, especially since we're on the first week here, the first night of a new cycle where we're delving into the function of groups or the viability or what the nature is for us of working as a group. So I would just say, David, I would say that we have sort of a group understanding, I think, here that we are we're working together. We have a shared project, so that I think that we're operating on a sort of a tacit and unexpressed understanding that we have a mutual respect for each other, that we have a platform here in which we exercise free speech, but everybody is respectful to the space, to the project that the group is doing together. So that's basically where our guidelines or our values come from, the idea that something that we're doing as a group is greater than my need for free speech, or let's say my understanding of what we're doing.
Do you have something you want contribute to this? I see something there.
Go ahead.
Hand her the microphone, please, Dan.
Okay. I just one comment from Soham.
Oh.
He says, thank you, but I am asking about rules for working on yourself in a group, because without strict rules, evolution is not possible.
Well, pay attention this next week and see what happens. Observe how the people that are in this group operate and speak, work, and work with each other. When you say work on self, you'll have to see what you mean by that. That is something that we've worked with, of course, extensively over the last several years. But let's just see. Hold it in your mind as a question. Rather than looking for external authority at this time, hold it in your mind as a question for yourself and see what it may mean for you to exercise that kind of inner discipline. We're going to leave it there for the moment. I'm not ignoring the question. You okay? Okay.
Yeah.
We're not ignoring the question, but it's probably something that will be answered with in the next 6 months as we go through it. It's a good question.
At least one time, if not multiple times over.
We'll answer it 20 times.
Well, Bernie LaPlante says the minimum rules are being normal, decent, and civilized first.
Sure. Thank you.
Oh,
good to,
shucks.
Good to see you there,
I've never
Bernie.
Been normal.
Yeah,
good to see
also
you.
Addressing
yeah.
No chuckling by the phone audience.
Nobody over here is chuckling.
The word normal is taken loosely.
Taken loosely, okay.
And Saham says, being normal is the goal, not a requirement.
Oh, thank you.
So let's go ahead. It's just a little after our time.
Yes.
And I appreciate everybody coming for this initial maiden voyage of this this new book that we're working on. It's always interesting to start something fresh. So thanks for coming tonight. We look forward to seeing you next Wednesday at 7 o'clock.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Good night. Thanks.